This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A heart that is steadfast, a heart that is steadfast. And this principle of istiqama is so important, because a lot of us think, right, we're going to go to the grave, all of us, that's a guarantee, you'll all be in the grave. And when we're in the grave, we know that we will be questioned. There's an interrogation of the grave. This is the first thing that will happen to you. When all of your family leaves you, you will hear them, by the way. You'll hear the family or whoever comes to your grave, you hear them. You hear them crying for you. You hear them making dua for you. And then you hear their footsteps walk away. And when they all walk away, guess what? You will be alone. You'll be alone. And then the interrogators will come. And they'll ask you, Man Rabbuk? Who was your Lord? Then they will ask you, وَمَا دِينُكُ? What was your religion? وَمَنْ نَبِيُكُ? Who was your prophet? And a lot of us think we know these things. These are basics, right? Children know these answers to these questions. The scholars tell us that you will not be able to answer those questions very easily on that day. These questions will only be answered by those whom Allah has given istiqamatul janan, who has given a steadfast heart, who will be able to answer these questions correctly. Because even if you think you know, these angels are going to interrogate you. When you say, Rabbi Allah, if Allah gives you that steadfast heart, they're going to ask you, how do you know this? What is your evidence for this? Where is your proof for it? They're not going to just take a simple answer for you. So istiqamah is so important, but it's going to allow us to have this principle, insha'Allah ta'ala. And along with Ibn al-Qayyim's advice of how to obtain istiqamah, he also gave us 4 advices on things that will destroy istiqamah, things that will destroy you staying on the straight path and having this uprightness and this character that we talked about today of not being able to be swayed very easily, not being able to be shooken or shaken. Because one thing that I ask Allah to give all of us, inshallah, is a heart that never wavers. One thing that I've done, and people have asked me, you know, like, after I accepted Islam, you know, they think they're like, oh, that was it, I just, you know, completely stayed, you know, started studying Islam. No, I still continued to look at other things that were brought in front of my path because I wanted to be 100% sure that the decision I had made was the correct decision. And I have still for 26 years studied into other religions simply so that I could help other people from those religions accept Islam, because it's hard to bring someone. I talked about it in our da'wah workshop that you're trying to build a bridge from where someone is to Islam. It's hard to build a bridge if you don't know where the bridge is going, right? You don't know where they're at. You don't know where to start, the starting point. And the more I have looked into other religions, and the more I've studied Christianity longer as a Muslim than I did as a non-Muslim. But as a Christian, I mean. But the more I've looked into other religions, the more Islam has become sound to me. The more these other ideologies become so clear in their battle, so clear in their deviance. And it has made it to the point to where I have no fear sitting down with anyone who says, can I tell you about my religion? No problem, let's go, sit down, tell me, because there's nothing you're going to tell me that's not going to do anything but give me more firmness in my heart about my deen. This is something that I've been grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. This comes from this understanding of knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hadi. He is the one who guides, and if He puts your heart in the right place, nothing can shake it. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala said that there are 4 principles that will affect istiqamah, can harm your steadfastness. Number one, he said, is masiyyah, sins. Sins can affect istiqamah. And he mentions sins that are not accounted for. What he means by not being accounted for is means that you don't make tawbah for them. You don't repent for them. You don't try to correct them. Sins that are just left unchecked. Because we know the Prophet ﷺ said that whenever you commit a sin, it puts a black spot on your heart. Puts a black spot on your heart. And the more sins that you commit that are unrepented for, the more those black spots accumulate on your heart until the heart becomes completely covered and it becomes hardened. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says in Surah Al-Hajj that whoever's heart is hardened, they are doomed. They are doomed. So a hardened heart will deviate you from the straight path. It will keep you from having istiqamah. It will cause you to be very weak in your faith and to be very wavery. So masiyyah, that are not accounted for. And I've said it so many times, you commit a sin, it's part of who we are. قلوب بني آدم خطاء الخير خاطئين التوابون. Repent for it, inshaAllah ta'ala. Repent for those sins. The next principle that he said, hold on, let me, I've been going all day long. Let me double check and make sure. Yep, that's what I thought. The second principle he talked about was shirk. Shirk, if committing acts of shirk is a principle that will destroy your istiqamah. Committing acts of shirk, and we're not talking about the major acts of shirk all the time, because a lot of us know this. A lot of us know we're not going to go worshiping trees and rocks and sticks and stone. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, warned us of the hidden shirk. The hidden shirk, the small things, like riya is a form of hidden shirk, being arrogant, being a person who thinks way more highly of himself than he should. There's a difference between being confident. I'm a confident person. I try to be. And being confident, there's nothing wrong with that. You can be confident. I am confident in who I am. I am confident in who I am not. I am confident in my abilities. I am confident in my own skin. I am confident in the way Allah created me, etc. But riya means that you do it in a way that you think you're better than other people. Wallahi, I don't think I'm better than anyone in this room. Probably the worst of you. I'm probably the least qualified person to be sitting here. I know my own self in that way. So be aware of that. And he even told us in the farewell sermon that shaitan has given up on you in the big things. He's given up on you in the big things. He's not going to get you to worship sticks and rocks anymore. He knows this. So beware of him in the small things. If he cannot stop you from praying, guess what he'll do? He'll steal from your salah. If he knows that you're a person who is going to pray, regardless, and he's just given up on the fact that he's going to get you to stop praying, he'll come and start stealing from your salah. He'll start taking from you. He'll start messing with your head. As soon as the imam says, Allahu Akbar takbiratul ihram, you start thinking, okay, oh, wait a minute, where's my keys? Did I lock my car? Is the stove on? Did I unplug the iron? All these small things, shaitan will start stealing from you. When it comes time to give sadaqah, you might be willing to give, but then you might start thinking, oh, you know, this is going to harm. You know, he'll start stealing from you. So beware of him in these small things. The third principle he said is nifaq. Nifaq will steal away from your istiqamah. Nifaq in both in your worship and in your actions. Nifaq in worship is the worst one. Nifaq in worship is the worst action. Nifaq in worship is basically the definition that you feign Islam outwardly, but you don't believe in it inwardly. You feign Islam outwardly, meaning that you profess to be a Muslim while in your heart you do not be. That is the true essence of nifaq. And that is something that will put you in the lowest parts of hell. These are the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned and gave so much severe warning to in the Quran. These were the people whom he talked about at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And they were all known to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, by the way. They were all known. He had been given an entire list of them. And there was a companion, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he actually had the list of all of the munafiqeen of Medina at the time. So this is nifaq in worship. Nifaq in action is something that we do way more often. Nifaq and hypocrisy in action is that you do things that you don't mean. Meaning that, like, you tell a brother, oh, I love you for the sake of Allah, or you help your brother, and you, it seems to be like it's genuine, but in reality, there's a hidden agenda, right? We know that's the normal of humanity. There's a hidden agenda behind almost anything. We live in a world now where if people are nice to me, I worry about them. If I don't know you and you're nice to me, I'm going to start being like, okay, what do you want? You know what I mean? Like, what do you really want? Because people are just not genuine like this anymore. This is nifaq in action, and this is the world we live in today. People are, especially strangers, it's hard for me because I was born and raised in the South, right? And people are just genuinely nice to each other. I don't know if you've lived in Texas long enough, but Southern people, there's something called Southern hospitality. I will say this without a shadow of a doubt, that the South is the last part of America that has culture, real culture. The South is the last part of America that has real culture. Yes, there's some bad parts of it, just like there's bad parts of every culture that is out there. But the South, the United States, is one of the last place bastions in America for real culture, for real culture of what it should be, inshallah. I was just used to that, people being genuinely kind. Like, you, when I grew up, if you saw a woman walking towards a door, you ran in front of her and opened it. It was just the way things were. You open the car door for your missus. You greet people. You ask them how they are. If you see an old lady coming out of a grocery store, you go and ask her to help you do that today, they start looking at you, you know what I mean? Like, you might get pepper sprayed, you know what I mean? They're going to think you're going to rob you. Like, we just don't have trust in human beings anymore. This is because of nifaq, of action. This is because of people having hidden agendas and not being able to trust anyone. So this is one of the other ones, inshallah. And the last one, my brain's not working today. Yeah, there it is. Bid'ah. Innovations. Innovations will destroy your istiqamah, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you hear it every Friday, وَشَرَّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا وَكُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. The worst action that you can commit is to put something in this religion. You have to understand the gravity of that sin. You have to understand the gravity of that sin. Because what you are doing when you put something into Islam that was not legislated by Allah or His Messenger, you are placing yourself above Allah and His Messenger. That is the reality of what you are doing. That's how serious it is. When you say that this is something that is better than what Allah and His Messenger have revealed, that this is something that I can add to this religion that will make it better, you are saying you know better than Allah. You are saying you know better than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that in and of itself is that's why the Prophet said it is the worst action you can commit. Because Allah says in the Quran, Al-Yawm akmaltu lakum dinakum, this day I have perfected your religion for you. You cannot improve upon perfection. If perfection cannot be improved upon. What Allah has perfected cannot be improved upon. And I know that I told you that the Prophet ﷺ said that I have left you with everything you need. If there was anything that would bring you closer to Allah, I gave it to you. If there is anything that would take you away from Allah, I've told you not to do it. So just stay on the path that I left you on. It's as simple as that. This deen has been made very easy, mashallah. That is one thing that I do know about Islam, that its depths are as deep as the ocean. Like, its depths are as deep or deeper than the ocean when it comes to, if you want to study Islam and look at the Quran and look at all of its meanings, it's very, very deep. But to follow Islam on a path that takes you to paradise is actually very easy. Allah has made it very easy for you. And Allah says this, I wish to intend ease upon you and not to intend burden upon you. I intend ease for you and not burden. To make it to paradise is actually a very simple principle. Stay upon the Quran and the Sunnah. Follow what Allah tells you. Follow what the Prophet tells you not to do, or what the Prophet told you to do and not to do. When you make a mistake and commit a sin, repent for it, and you can be a person of Jannah. It's a very simple fact. For women, it's even easier. And I know sometimes, you know, there's a. I don't even like to use the word feminism, right? We're going to talk about this one day, as by the way. We're going to talk about feminism and its flip coin. Toxic masculinity, I think, is an overused word, and it's been framed to make men not be men anymore. But I've told you guys, I think I said this very early on, the red pill movement. Yeah, how many of you heard the red pill movement? Raise your hand. Yeah? Red pill movement's the flip coin. It's the other side of the coin of feminism. Literally, it's the other side of coin of feminism. Islam by its very nature is masculine for men, and Islam by its very nature is feminine for women. And women, actually, there's no such thing as gender equality in Islam, because the two are not the same. The two can't be treated the same. They're not. But there is equality in terms of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at us. All of us will be judged equally. But when it comes to responsibilities and rights and obligations and rewards and punishments, they're not the same. They're just not the same between men and women. And women actually have one of the most easiest paths to Jannah in reality. And actually, I have a little bit of jealousy over that, to be honest with you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a woman can do her fara'id. Meaning that she prays five times a day, she fasts the month of Ramadan, she pays her zakah if she owns jewelry and stuff like that. All she has to do is the mandatory acts of Islam that are responsible for her. And if her husband is pleased with her, then she will be told to enter into Jannah through any gate that you wish. She will be told, you can go to Jannah through any of the eight gates that you choose. Just choose one. Go ahead. Just choose. Just for that simple act. Which is not truly simple in its form, because I know now, dealing with counseling and men and being married for a very long time, we men sometimes are very difficult individuals to live with. We are very difficult creatures to live with. But if a woman can stomach us and still keep us happy, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant her Jannah. For the men, we have a whole other list of responsibilities and things that will be questioned before we are able to enter into Jannah. A man is an imam of his home. He will be dragged in chains in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment and be questioned about his household. He'll be questioned about his wife. He'll be questioned about his children. He'll be questioned about everybody who is under his affair and his control. That's the qawam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to men. So there's no equality when it comes to that. We have a bigger burden to bear. But we have to make sure that these few principles that we talked about in the khutbah today, in this one, we stay away from them, inshallah. Bid'ah is one of those ones that are killing the ummah today as well, adding things to this religion that don't belong there. If the Prophet didn't do it, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't allow it to be done in his presence, just don't do it. Just don't add to this religion. So, istiqamah will take us to Jannah, inshallah. Istiqamah is that path, that is the straight path. That is the path. We have to keep going. We have to keep fighting. Some days is going to be easier than others. Yes, some days will be easier than others. The last 10 nights of Ramadan, istiqamah is an easy thing, right? You feel like if shaitan was around, you'd be like, I wish you weren't locked up today. You know what I mean? I'll deal with you myself in the last 10 nights. Or if you were standing at the Haram in Mecca or standing at the masjid of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina, your iman is so high, you wish shaitan would try you on that day. What happens 6 months after Ramadan? What happens after you've come back here and you're back with your family? You're trying to avoid shaitan in any ways necessary. So there will be easy times and there'll be hard times. The point is, we make it to the end, inshallah. We finish the race. It doesn't matter how we run it. Doesn't matter how we start it. It matters how we finish it and if we get to the end. And if we get to the end, then when we make it to Jannah, we can all sit around and talk about how crazy this life was and how many things you had to go through. But no one will care about how we got there. Nobody will care about how did you get to Jannah. As long as we made it, that's all that will matter. I've told you, I don't care if I end up as the last person, if Allah deems it to be so, the very last person to enter into Jannah, and I sleep on a park bench outside of one of your guys' beautiful property, I'll be a happy man, inshallah ta'ala. So istiqamah, stay steadfast. Do not give up. Do not give up. That is should be the dying principle of a Muslim, is that we will not quit. We might do many things, but we won't quit. We won't give up. And many people are entering into Islam right now because of our brothers and sisters in Gaza, based on this very principle. They have been demonstrating istiqama on its highest level. They have been demonstrating istiqama on its highest level. And this very principle of their istiqama has brought thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people to Islam since October 7th. Simply of people looking at what is it about these people that can allow them to go through some of the most horrible atrocities we have witnessed in our lifetime, and yet they still remain steadfast. Their religion is still front and center. They're still praising the one who created them. They're still praying. They're still thanking Allah for the death of their whole entire family, etc. What can make a person be like that? Istiqamah. So they have shown it for us. They have exemplified it for us. Let us follow in their footsteps, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum, inshallah ta'ala. Next Friday.